Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to the Goblet.
Hello and welcome to Goblet of Wine, a drunken Harry Potter podcast. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Hannah.
Why are you Irish?
Just for the band. And I'm Hannah, and we're two 20-somethings reading our favourite childhood book, but this time with added alcohol and cynicism.
In today's episode, we're discussing chapter 6 of Half-Blood Prince.
So grab a glass of something fizzy and fancy like Prosecco.
Wow, that made me want to kill you. Fizzy and fancy. Ugh.
I'm fizzy and fancy.
That, I don't know why, but fizzy and fancy made me think of Ladies Who Lunch.
Let's be Ladies Who Lunch.
Was that a thing in your school?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Grab a glass of your favourite alcoholic beverage and join us on this drunken, reminiscent journey. All right. That's how I decided I'm going to start the podcast today.
That sounded like, what's his face?
Good, yeah, good description.
All right. Who does that?
I don't know.
It's Big Nose Sexy Man.
Podcast's off to a good start.
No, I'm Googling Big Nose Sexy Man. Hang on. I'm not literally Googling. I'm Googling...
Big Nose Sexy Man.
Matthew McConaughey. Big Nose Sexy Man.
Yeah, it might have been one of, I might have been doing it for one of his films, to be honest. I don't like Matthew McConaughey. It's not my type. I don't get it. Do you know who I do weirdly like? And this is my weirdest one. And I'll stand by it's my weirdest one. Adam Sandler.
Ew, no. Okay, I don't even know who it is that I... Oh, who's the other one like him that I get him confused with?
I don't know. But I'll watch any film he's in. The latest one he did with Jennifer Aniston that was a straight to Netflix one was absolutely brilliant. Great. Well, who's your weirdest one?
Oh, Hannah, no.
Oh, Hannah, no.
That's a
deep dark hole.
I mean, what genre of weird man are we going for here? Because
I was going with basic weird, you know, like Adam Sandler's in a lot of films. I wasn't going weird. I'm sure there's
like,
weirder ones.
So are we thinking like American, like Hollywood celebrity?
Yeah. But like this not is... your typical hottie category.
Well, no, I know because you said weird. You have to define it because like if we want to go weird, we can go fucking on to like UK British comedians.
No, we're not going that far.
Oh God, I feel
because
like
because the thing is with UK British comedians, all I hot. Would sleep with all of them.
All, aside from Jimmy Carr.
No, I'd sleep with him.
Ew!
Bottom of the list. Do you know who's weirdly high up? Hugh Dennis.
Wait, hang on. I'm so bad with like, I know, obviously.
When he was younger, he's probably getting a bit old now, but.
Oh, no. He would get it. No, he would absolutely get it now. Now, I don't care. Absolutely no. Sexy as fuck. You know, okay, you know who? My number one UK comedian.
Okay. Oh, God.
Now, I want you to guess.
I really hope it's not that blonde one.
What, Russell? No. You thought entirely too young.
I really don't know. You're going to have to tell me.
Lee Mack?
Yeah, he'd get it, yeah. Anyone funny?
But he's my number one.
This is how I know that funniness is my biggest turn on. Because British comedians would sleep with.
Every single one.
Every single
and
one.
And to be clear, we're not saying American here because Americans aren't funny.
UK panel shows, I'm just like,
Every single one of them. Americans are funny. That was a joke.
But before we go any further, we have a few patrons to welcome to the team. A, Georgia the Jungle, size thank you to Georgia.
An Elizabeth Line, size thank you to Elizabeth.
An Idaho, size thank you to Ida Martine.
A Labia, size thank you to Lucy.
And a Leprechaun, size thank you to another Lucy. Thank you all so much for joining the Patreon. We have bonus episodes going up there. Like, at the moment, we are watching a Harry Potter musical for the first time in years, and like live watching along, so you can watch it with us and hear our commentary. We are still doing My Immortal with Neil. We have some new episodes of that hopefully coming very soon, and lots of other fun things. So go check out our Patreon if you want to see things like that, as well as our Discord, the ability to ask us questions at the end of the episode, and to choose our alcohol. And one other reminder, we will be attending LeahyCon Florida at the end of July, the last weekend of July. Me and Charlie are going to be there representing Goblet of Wine. We are going to be performing things that we will give you more details on as soon as we know them, but we are definitely going to be there. So if you want to come along, meet us, meet loads of other cool podcasts like Fanatical Fix and Potterless, yes, we will be at LeakyCon.
Could you please read the review?
Yes. The accent, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. This is by Villamood Denmark. Says, amazing podcast. I found it about 2 months ago and I became hooked instantly. I absolutely love how deep they go into the plot and point out things I've never noticed, and also talk about wanting to fuck Ben Stiller. And like, I'm just ad-libbing here. It's just because I find it funny. We just got on a tangent about what celebrities we wouldn't fuck. And they're like, I absolutely love how deep they go into the plot.
People who just listened to this podcast for Harry Potter are screaming right now.
I'm so sorry.
Do you think there are people that just listened to this podcast for Harry Potter?
I hope not, because I'm so sorry if you do. There are other podcasts, DM us, we will tell you
about them.
Yeah. I've recommended it to all my friends. I'm from Denmark, but grew up with American English and ... I have to admit, I find British English better, in brackets, oops, no, that is the correct take.
Because American English, sorry, is a bastardization of British English because we did it first.
Yep. Everything about this is gold. The rants, the guests, the jokes, the in caps accents, and of course the two lovely ladies are amazing.
I'm a lady.
And it's a wonderful way to return to my comfort series hashtag. Aww. Justice for Ali Bashir. Hell yeah! Justice for Ali Bashir. Love that.
I love when we set random hashtags and years later I'm like, yeah, we said that was me. Yeah. I made that joke.
I know. We need Justice for Ali Bashir merch. That's another thing that neither of us will write down. And then next time we're designing merch, we'll be like, I can't remember a single thing.
Hey. I put this on Instagram stories. We're looking for someone to do some sort of like cartoon. What are the other words for it? Like
illustration.
Illustrations. I'm not going to say the art style I want because I can't describe it, but I'll know it when I see it. Which is very unhelpful.
Yep.
So email us if you do illustrations.
Can you please write that in the brief to whatever poor illustrator we hire? You're like, I can't tell you what I want it to look like, but I'll know it when I see it. Because that's a classic nightmare client thing.
I
don't know what I want this to look like, but I'll know it when I see it. It's like,
I will have looked at their art style before, yeah. And then I'll be fine. But yeah, just if you're an illustrator, email us because we want some things done. We have an alcohol. So this alcohol comes from Catherine, and she chose Prosecco.
Is this your mum?
No, because it's spelled with a K.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, if you want to throw a strawberry or raspberry in there to be fancy, you can.
We have not.
I have not.
How dare you, Hannah?
But me and my friends have on multiple occasions got a smash by drinking a bottle each of Prosecco while binging the movies, which usually results in a lot of sobbing around Order of the Phoenix. Catherine, that sounds like such a banging night.
That sounds like an excellent time.
Like, you are living your best life.
Yeah.
And so are we right now.
This is the thing. As much as, like, obviously we get far, like, greater times from the podcast than we would normally, it does also mean that we don't do things like get together and, like, get drunk watching the films. Because aside from, obviously, when we literally do that for the podcast. But, like, that, I feel like, if we didn't do the podcast, that's something we would do on a regular basis,
yeah,
probably.
So.
But it's like, we can't do it. We could do it with the early ones now, but we just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need to do the director's commentary on
three.
Oh, that's going to be such a good one.
We should do that I was going to say soon. When?
When? Look at my calendar. When do you want to do it?
No, but we can. That's the kind of thing we can do a weeknight.
Yeah. Anyway, Prosecco, cheers.
Cheers.
We didn't wait to drink this one because we know what it tastes like, and we've been drinking it for hours because Charlie was like, do you have a bottle? Shall I buy one? And I was like, no, I don't have one. Buy one. Then she arrived and I was like, I have one. And not only do I have one, it's the exact same brand as what you've bought.
Yeah. What was... So I went into Waitrose because I was like, yeah, it was the same side of the road as Starbucks, so they were going to Starbucks. But yeah, so I went into Waitrose because I was like, oh, it's the same side of the road as Starbucks that I'm going next. So I'll go into Waitrose. I was like, at the end of the day, it's the podcast money. If it cost me £1, £2 more, don't care. Later turned out to be ironic because I'd forgotten the podcast card, so I need to reimburse myself. But yeah, I was like, oh no, it's fine, I'll just get it from Waitrose, it'll be like £1, £2 more, it's a podcast money, it doesn't matter. I like stood there and looked at the Prosecco aisle and went and walked out. Like,
why, how much more was it?
The most, the like the cheapest one was like over a tenner.
No,
I
really?
Yeah.
Because I always think Waitrose are quite good at having not as cheap as other supermarket options, but a relatively cheap option.
No.
Wow.
There was not a single thing like on offer either, which is the
fucking
thing.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So I went to a different supermarket because I was like, valid. No, I will cross the road to not spend a tenner.
That is valid. I have never spent a tenner on a bottle of wine-based product.
Ridiculous. I like how it's like you're pocket. Like, oh, I feel fancy spending £7 on an entire bottle of wine, but then we go to a pub and it's like £6.50 for a beer, and you're like, fair enough,
that's all right. Right, can we get into this chapter?
Yes.
Chapter 6, Draco's Detour. What a good chap's name, what a good chapter.
Yeah.
So we're at the Burrow. It's been a few weeks are passing, time is moving.
Yeah.
And poor Hermione, I don't know why she's gone around Ron's, because she's being forced to play two-a-side Quidditch every day. Gurney, why are you here?
Hello and welcome to editing, Hannah. Essentially, the discussion me and Charlie are about to have is about the whole Hermione coming to Ron's in the summer thing. Now, I am perfectly aware that we had this discussion in the previous two episodes that have just gone out with Flight, because I just spent weeks and weeks of my life editing those episodes. However, the current Hannah and Charlie that you're listening to did not remember that, because they were so drunk in that episode, they kind of lost whole chunks of their memory. So we have the discussion again, and I was just going to cuss it wholesale, but there is some quite interesting points we raise in there that I know we didn't raise in the Flight one. So what I've done is just edited it down a lot to the kind of more interesting points. So hopefully it isn't repetitive, but I think this is a point that we're both very passionate about, so I didn't want to cut it wholesale. So I hope you don't feel it's repetitive. I hope we make some interesting new points, but I have edited it down a lot. So if this next section sounds a little bit weird, that's why.
Let's just to reinforce, why is she here?
Plot convenience.
It's just so absurd to me that you could have put a paragraph, maybe two paragraphs into this entire book or across a few books to explain this. This could so easily have explained.
Coming back to these books as an adult, Hermione is the lead female character, and to not have her backstory explained is so grossly negligent, basically. Yeah. When you look at the...
Okay, we know more about Neville's than we do Hermione's.
And I am Ron's biggest defender. And the reason I'm Ron's biggest defender is because his flaws are built up so perfectly with an explanation. It's a really beautiful crafted story of how his flaws link to his family issues, but how, like, and those build and build and build until book 7. And until that moment where he comes back. That's a really well-crafted story. And Ron is like a really well-crafted grey character because like he is morally good. He is a good character with really big flaws that he has to work through. But he has reasons for those flaws.
Yeah.
Hermione is meant to be as big a sub-character as him.
Yeah.
And we are not given that level of detail. And it's just not right.
No, it's... And it's so just... glaringly obvious in this moment. I don't understand how JK Rowling, as a grown ass woman, wrote this bit about 16
year old? She's 16, she's about to turn 17.
Yeah, like a 16, 17 year old child choosing to spend a week and a half with her parents that she has not seen the entire rest of the year. She's seeing her parents for a week and a half out of the entire year. Yeah. The entire year. Like, that's not a normal choice to make. That is not. At the age of 16, 17, unless there are problems going on there.
Yeah.
In which case, it's an incredibly valid choice to make. But it's not one just, like, off the bat, you've got a fine relationship. But, like, at 16, 17, you don't have that level of just, like, built-in independence. Like, it's so odd to me that she just didn't think to explain it, and it wouldn't have taken a lot. It really wouldn't. Like, I'm not asking that this has to be some whole other plot line that's, like, dived into really, really deeply. I'm not saying that, but you can throw in the occasional line the same way you do with Ron. Obviously, we get to see Ron's family more in person, but actually, the majority of the backstory that we know about Ron is out of his own damn mouth.
Yeah.
Like, we see some of the family dynamics from them, but the majority of the things we actually hear Ron expressing his own insecurities
is Harry's opinion. Harry often thinks, I shouldn't say this around Ron because I don't want to embarrass him. He buys Ron things kind of accidentally and says there's always a birthday present. Like, Harry is consciously aware of Ron's flaws and moves around them. Sometimes he does it well, sometimes he does it terribly.
Yeah, but, like, and the same could be done for Hermione, the occasional line out of her own mouth. Maybe things hinted at the occasional time we see her parents, but not necessarily. And Harry's opinions.
That's what frustrates me. We got one line, which was almost there. That line in book five that said, "Prefect is finally something they can understand," was great. Do 10 more of those lines for me. Give me that.
Yeah.
"Prefect is finally something they can understand," more, because that told me a lot. But you didn't do more than that, and you didn't do enough. So my kind of, the way I interpret the whole thing, and it's actually, like, builds into, like, a floor of the wizarding world that they do not
onboard.
They don't onboard Muggle-born students enough. They don't onboard Muggle-borns enough, and their parents. Therefore, Muggle-borns then face even more stigmatism, because not only do they feel cut off from their relatives and not able to include them, they then faced stigmatism and racism in school.
Yeah.
So you have those two things, and they're not included. And then that builds and builds and builds. And Hermione has that doubled, because not only does she have all that, she is best friends with the person who is wanted by the most dark wizard of all time. Her parents are Muggles, and Voldemort wants to kill Muggles. So she draws herself backwards. She's like, I will get them hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand. No one has helped me include them. I don't know how to include them. I'm drawing back and drawing back and drawing back, drawing back. And then that's where she says the line, "Prefect is finally something they can understand. I'm giving them a crumb." Also, they will be getting letters and seeing and hearing about the fact she's hurt. She came back from that ministry with an injury to her chest that is still affecting her, I think, like, partially, or it was at the end of summer. They will know about that. They will be upset, but, like...
And how do they then, she wants to go after a week and a half, how do they even let that? I don't understand.
Is she, like, still taking potions for her fucking chest? Like,
it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And it's so annoying that it wouldn't have added, to include rich, beautiful detail like that, wouldn't have even added
that much. Because,
then
it adds to this thing that the Wizarding World, although it is against Voldemort in the fact that Voldemort wants Muggle-borns to not exist and Muggles to be involved in the Wizarding World, the Wizarding World is like, no, Muggle-borns are fine, but are inherently negligent because they don't know how to set up society to include Muggle-borns. So that's how I interpret it. It's like Voldemort is openly racist, but the Wizarding World are saying they're fine, but they're actually, like, internally still racist because they haven't set up a society that allows Muggle-borns to become included.
It's the Wizarding equivalent of institutional racism.
Exactly. That's the word I was looking for, institutional. So then I kind of view this moment as the worst moment in it. Hermione has only gone back for a week and a half. She has fully withdrawn herself. And how I kind of headcanonize it in my head is this Christmas that we're about to come up, because she's fallen out with Ron, she goes back for Christmas for the first time since first year. And I think this is the moment she's like, I'm going to try harder with them. I'm going to tell them things. I'm going to do things. And then less than 6 months later, she has to wipe their memories. That makes it more tragic.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful arc.
Isn't it? Like, she finally is like, I'm going to include them. I'm going to try. I need to do this because I've lost Ron, I could lose Harry, and I have to. And she goes back. They're probably angry at her because she's finally come back for the first Christmas in 5 years. They're like, what are you even doing here? Like, you ran away from the last one.
Yeah.
And then she has to wipe their memories.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
It's all inside my own head. So.
What we were deprived of. And it's things that would have also, like, matured the series. But yeah, it is annoying because you could have had that rich detail and it honestly wouldn't have added that much in terms of length to the book.
Absolutely not.
You could have even had it hinted at in a few sentences and you could have had the, in my opinion, entire thing justified in one singular sentence. Do you know what that one sentence is that could have explained her entire relationship with the parents?
Go on.
My parents are dentists and that's fucking creepy.
It is creepy.
It is. I'm
dentists
so sorry
are the
to
worst
any...
job.
Any dentist listening to this.
Why did you become that? Why did you? Why?
I'm sorry. I hate the dentist. I'm terrified of the dentist.
I'm scared of you. Why would you choose that
career? Why would you do it? Why would you do it? Anyway.
We're allowed to live inside our own head with our own little head cannons. If people can literally create whole worlds inside their head about marauders, we can do this for Hermione.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, this girl loves her friends so much and hates her parents so much that she is willing to pay two aside Quidditch every day. And that girl hates Quidditch.
Like, one, it annoys me that JK is this, like, self-proclaimed, like, feminist writer, and yet she, zero effort to give her, like, female lead character backstory. I don't understand, as a woman, how you don't notice that. I genuinely don't understand.
Because women pop out fully formed badasses. Pa-pew!
Yeah.
Pa-pew! I'm a fully formed badass.
Yeah.
I don't need a backstory. Because I'm a badass bitch.
It's manic pixie daydream girl shit, which, really yes, is a very flawed trope. But this is what it is.
This is what
but, like, it's such a low fucking bar as well, because it's like, whilst I am not expecting great things in terms of, like, you know, diverse or intersectional feminism from a middle class white woman, obviously, it's like, the lowest bar that it's like, you can't even, you've got this white female middle class character that you can't even give the back. That's the fucking minimum.
And it's not like the backstory would have been difficult or boring to write in. They're muggles in a war where muggles are being persecuted.
That's
the
more...
story writes itself.
And it's more interesting than Ron's bullshit. Oh, my dad had a good job, but, you know, we had many children, so we weren't that rich. Oh, fuck off. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's not that interesting.
I was in a house so full of love that I might have been adored a bit.
Woe is me. I'm a mummy's boy. Like, ugh. But, like, it's just, like, you know, I'm not expecting J.K. Rowling to write any kind of plot that supports any kind of woman from any different background than her own. But the fact that she can't even write a decent backstory from a character that, I'm sorry, is so clearly like a Mary fucking Sue for herself, and she still can't give her a background? Learn to write, you daft bint. Could you imagine being 16 and rather than spending the summer with your loving parents, you decide to go to your, I'm sorry, unwashed best friend. And,
who at this point she is clearly in love with.
And he definitely doesn't wash his ass. Like, and play kicky football with hoodies as the goals for the entire
is,
summer.
When you're 16, you would want that because you're
no!
a lame bitch.
No, no. Sorry, I will admit a lot of insufferable things about me at 16. I would not have bitched. I would not have ditched my parents for the summer to watch two greasy, smelly white men kick a football between two hoodies.
I wouldn't have, but I might have been jealous. But here they are playing two-a-side football at Quidditch. although it's
no,
ridiculous,
you were right the first time.
Although it's ridiculous, ooh. I kind of love the fact the three Quidditch-obsessed idiots force Hermione into this. She's probably like, I want to read my book, and they're like, no. And I kind of hope that as adults, they still do this to her. They're like, let's play to a side Quidditch. And she's like, I have to work. And they're like, let's play to a side Quidditch.
Yeah. You know how I reckon she was talked into it?
Ron.
No. Ginny. I reckon Ginny came up to her and was like, hey, Hermione. And she's like, yes, Ginny. And she's like, you know how, like me, you aren't like other girls? She's like, yes, Ginny, we aren't like other girls. I like books. And Ginny's like, you know how you can really be not like other girls and all of the boys will want to pick you? She's like, how? She's like, You play Quidditch. All the boys love girls that play Quidditch because no girls like to play Quidditch. All of the boys will want you if you like sport.
I think even Hermione would not sink to that level.
No, this but is definitely a conversation that happened.
I also like to think that at this point, Ginny is badgering Hermione nightly about whether she fancies Ron. And Hermione's like,
oh, yeah.
No, 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 no. Shut up, Ginny. Ginny's like, tell me. I can imagine Ginny being really annoying about it. Like, tell me.
Yeah, but then I feel like Hermione would throw back, do you like Harry?
She'd be like, no, I like Dean. And Hermione's like, sure, bitch.
Sure. Realistically, she should choose Dean.
But anyway, talking about trash men, Harry says, the pairings work for this two-a-side Quidditch.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ginny is good and Hermione is dreadful.
Ginny's quite good.
Ginny isn't good, bitch.
Ginny's quite good.
She went on to be a professional player. Ginny is fucking excellent and you're a piece of trash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Harry turns 16.
Yep.
Which, it's not even mentioned in the text. This is his first birthday with friends.
Aww.
And it's not even mentioned in the text. Friends. He's only ever been with the Dursleys before.
Yeah.
He gets a cake. But Lupin's there like, well, haven't I got some bad news for you? Want to hear about some deaths, boys?
Yeah, people have been going missing.
Karkaroff's dead.
Yeah, his body's been found. The most heartbreaking one is Florian Fortescue.
Florian, whatever did he do?
And also described as dragged off. Not just missing.
And we never
specifically
find it. Do you know what? We never find out if Florian's okay. Never. But this is the last mention of Florian.
I don't know why, but this character for me has just always had a soft spot in my heart,
he
along
gave
with
Harry free ice
Ali Bashir.
When, yeah.
But like, yeah, I think it's mostly because I like the name. But yeah, the idea that he's this humble ice cream seller that was so like politically active.
They dragged the man
they
off.
They dragged
and we never
him
heard
off.
From him again, so we can only assume he was killed.
Yeah, we don't even find his body. Like, for all we know, he could have gone the way of Barty Crouch of just having his body transfigured into like a little tiny bone, like
justice
horrific.
Florian, honestly,
yeah, justice for Florian.
Yeah,
we're just milking hashtags at this point.
We are. Ollivander has also disappeared, which is a really good and early setup here because,
I mean, as we were watching a Harry Potter musical, and they were like, which by the way, we've done a voiceover of that for Patreon bonus episodes, self plug, and they're like, do you know what foreshadowing is?
Yeah. But, like, I think by this point, I think it's very clear by book six that J.K. Rowling had decided on everything. Like, yeah. I think book five, she was still a bit like, oh, I've got a couple more things. Book six, she's done.
Oh, she had to be.
Yeah, she had to be. So it's a good setup that Ollivander has been dragged off. Also, Voldemort, that implies that Voldemort is looking for the Elder One a lot earlier than we thought. Like, blimey, man. Like, he is working on that now.
Yeah.
Sorry, my nose is really blocked. This cold is doing weird things. It wasn't a cold and now my nose is blocked. Also, there's a quick mention of Regulus, which is a good, again, little setup, foreshadowing, a little reminder that he left the Death Eaters. Very good. Sprinkle that in. But then the next day, or one of the days, I don't know, the time doesn't really make sense here, Harry is made Quidditch captain.
Woo!
Woo! Harry!
And Hermione is like, you're finally equal to us. And it's like, is that the phrasing?
Hermione is a judgmental person.
Yeah.
Archie Philpott had a probe stuck up his ass.
What? Are you making this up?
Nope.
Is this Diana all over again?
Nope. You didn't pick up on this. You.
No.
You?
A man got fingered and I didn't.
So Bill gets money out of Harry's vault for Harry. Mm.
Yeah, which, what the fuck?
Well, he works at the bank, but
no,
still,
but
what
like,
the fuck?
No, but like, imagine if just like someone that worked at Santander could just like get money out for
Here's
you.
Here's £1,000 out of your bank account. Get off
that
my
you
bank
didn't
account.
Ask for. Like, excuse me?
Yeah, Bill's like, I'm really abusing my rights here, my powers, here you are. But he's like, no.
But also weird because we've never seen Harry go into his bank since day one.
I think it mentions in passing he goes every year. Bill says he did it because the lines at Gringotts are mad at the moment because everything that's going on. Archie Philpott had a probe stuck up his... Well, it doesn't matter.
I don't trust you. Because I now... Go get your book, bitch. Because I now don't trust Hannah to not make something up because she knows I would just go along with it. You're going to Diana-gate me. We don't trust each other.
because it's taking about 5 hours.
No, but I need to read it because you could just be making this up.
Stuck up his ... Well, trust me, this way's easier.
I mean, some people enjoy that.
All right, JK, you said this book was getting more adult and we're talking about sticking a probity probe up someone's arse. We can assume it means arse.
That's weird because that implies that they suspected him of trying to smuggle something in. But I guess maybe out. But like, how does that make sense?
I can't believe this was in this children's book. I was just like...
I mean, but that is the level of joke that you get in like kids' films that are put in there for the adults.
Yeah, no, it's funny, but...
And these aren't kids' books anymore.
So Bill's done that because they're going to go into Diagon Alley to do some shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And on that day that they're doing that, Bill and Fleur are staying at home, I presume to bang.
Yeah, they are.
Because there's no other reason for them to stay at home. And it keeps mentioning that like at breakfast, they're like... Touch each other's noses and do the beer.
Cute, I like it. Good for them.
So they're staying at home to have some sex.
Yeah, they are.
So they get one of the special cards to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? No, to the Diagon Alley. Like, why? There are other faster methods.
It's like prolonged, if anything. Just get flu powder.
Well, yeah, and then Harry's
flu
like...
Flu powder.
And then Harry's like, well, the car took, like, a short amount of time. Like, surprisingly short. I'm like, well, yeah, because it went magically fast, but why not just use flu powder?
Yeah. Surely that's safer. Like...
Hagrid is there for security, which I was kind of like, okay, maybe this will add to the plot somehow. No.
Also, he can't do magic. He's big.
Punch people.
Okay.
In.
I'm sorry.
The face.
Doesn't do a lot against like Avada Kedavra.
No, but we have learned from the last book that he kind of like rebuffs a lot of spells, like the giant's blood in him, so he can stand as a shield in front of people.
That's not very humane.
Dumbledore's not very humane.
Like, true, but like, send any other aura.
No.
Send an aura.
But also, he doesn't add to the plot of this chapter. I wonder whether it's just because J.K. Rowling got to the end of the book and went, oh, God, I haven't got much Hagrid in this book, and went and added him into this chapter. Like,
maybe.
I don't know. Because Hagrid's kind of like, oh, it's just like old times, which is cute, but...
Well, I had this note later. But I'll bring it up now. A lot of this chapter mirrors Harry's first.
Which is adorable.
Yeah, like it is. Hagrid gets him through the brick wall. He goes into Madame Malkin's and Draco's there. It's very much this is his last going off to Hogwarts.
Yeah, it is.
Which obviously we'd know at the time, but like it is his last going off to Hogwarts, so it's mirroring his first.
And it's almost bittersweet because you don't find out it's his last until you're already past
exactly.
She knew at this point it was his last going. There are a lot of mirrorings, including Hagrid, but yeah, it's kind of like... But Diagon Alley is not like it was before. One of these things is not like the other. It's all shut down. There's boarded over windows. There's posters of the wanted people and bad stalls have popped up. Bad, mm-hmm. dodgy stalls.
Mm-hmm.
Because stalls are bad. Only real shops are good.
Yeah. Fuck markets. Fuck farmers' markets.
Any sort of market.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Boo!
So Harry, Ron, Hermione go to Madame Malkin's because everyone needs robes.
But the most important detail, they're going to Madame Malkin's because Ron's being a little slut that's showing too much ankle.
Oh, Ronnie!
I just love it. I love the way that Mrs. Weasley is like, Ron's showing far too much ankle. I get that it means that he just needs new trousers, but I'm like,
Mr. Bennet!
Oh my God!
Someone get me my smelling salts! That man is showing too much ankle!
I'm going to faint! I've seen a man's ankle!
Also, I love that every book has a mention of how much Ron has grown. How tall is this boy?
Ron at this point is 7 foot, and that is the only reason Hermione fancies him. And that is valid.
Valid. Hermione. We stand Hermione in this.
Yes.
So yeah, they walk into Madame Malkin's and Draco Malfoy, they hear his voice before they see him and he's kind of berating his mother. He's like, blah, 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 blah. I don't even remember what he's saying. Blah, 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 blah. And then he stalks out from behind the rack. And this is where I can assume that the love for Draco and Draco Harry really began to amp up because it says he like stalks out from behind it and stands admiring himself in front of the mirror before he spots them. Like, he's full on owning his moment mm-hmm. until he spots them and they ruin yeah. his day.
We love a self-confident queen.
Yeah, we don't love Draco, though, because he then he turns around, glances at them, then says, Mother, don't worry if you can smell something in here. A mudblood's just come in.
Once again, I love the difference between our notes because my note was, they get into beef with Draco.
Yeah, so Harry and Ron both draw their wands mm-hmm. because boys will be boys.
I also have the note that Madame Malkin is a hashtag ally because she's like, I don't think there's any reason for that language.
Which but is she's like, just yes. kind of hovering in the middle of them all like, could you stop? Yeah. No ones.
But you know that TikTok audio where it's like, ally, right? I keep saying this to people and everyone's like, what? And
I'm
like,
I haven't heard that one.
Was I the only one that had this TikTok audio that was like, ally?
No, yeah, I didn't have that.
Okay.
I didn't realise... There's a passing comment because Draco's like, who blacked your eye? I want to sell them flowers. Hermione still has a black eye. It's been 3.5 weeks.
It's a magical black eye.
So she's been walking around trying to make Ron Weasley fancy her with a bloody black eye.
I'm sorry. Even with a black eye, he should be fucking begging for it on his knees.
He should be on his knees. But poor girl, she was like, I'm going to lower myself to play two-a-side Quidditch.
And also, black eyes are painful and like can even impact your vision depending like... how bad they
nobody
are.
Nobody cares. Nobody.
Well, like, Mrs. Weasley did try and fix it, but like...
Ginny might care.
I don't believe that in 3.5 weeks they couldn't have just like sent like a fucking owl to...
Fred George, like, to be like, hey. Could you... What?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Surely he would have...
No, no one cares about
would have just been like, oh, just deal with it, Hermione.
Hermione's trying to flirt and the poor thing is just...
Yeah.
Got a black eye.
Oh.
Poor love. So she's like, boys, stop. Please, that's not worth it. Blah, 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 blah. And then Narcissa stalks out.
Yeah.
And Harry is the sassiest little queen we have ever seen so far. I say so far because he's about to get more sassy. But he sasses the shit out of her. He is like, but your husband's going to rot in Harry Potter.
Can I say something really weird?
Yeah.
I kind of ship Harry and Narcissa. Is that, like, given all of her many faults, including, you know, being a massive racist, the one thing that she is a very loving mother, which he doesn't have. I'm just playing into Harry's inevitable mummy kink that...
I mean, he does go for some extremely personal attacks on her, considering he has never exchanged a word with this woman.
Yeah.
In his life, and suddenly he's like,
I just like,
bitch!
It's like the tension here combined with like at the end of the books when she like doesn't dob him in. I don't know. It's yeah. like the whole like weird mummy kink. She's very hot. It's
the tension here is ramped up a lot considering these two have never exchanged a single word. And also there's this weird line when the text is like, Harry was as tall as her now. I'm like, well, I'm glad to know that Harry has grown some compared to 7 foot Ron. But...
yeah, like...
But we don't know how tall Narcissa is, so this is a non-sentence.
Yeah, but like, I could just picture, yeah, like, they're like, he's like grown and she's like the same height. And he's like, oh, you bitch, mummy, sorry, mummy. I mean, sorry, mummy, mummy. I mean, sorry, mummy. I mean, like, I just...
I bet someone's written it.
Oh, I know what I'm Googling later when I get home.
Yeah, you are. So they argue and Narcissa goes for the lowest blow. She's like, you'll be with your dear Sirius before Lucius gets out of jail.
See?
Wow, threaten the 16-year-old with death, why yeah. don't you?
Hot.
Wow.
Everyone loves a death threat.
Yeah.
There's nothing turns me on more than when someone says to me, you want to be with your dead loved one soon? I'm like, yeah.
Also, this is just openly basically admitting that they're all in with the Death Eaters while Madame Malkin is just in the middle like,
what are the consequences at this point? There are none.
No, exactly. Like, but it's just...
It's wild.
It's wild. It's wild. They're having an open argument in the shop about who's a Death Eater and Madame Malkin is just like... Blah, 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 blah.
It's like, whilst I understand there's only so much you can do at this point because anyone that you send to Azkaban's just going to break out.
Get right back out.
It's still...
Apart from, you know, Lucius is in there a long time. Bitch can't break out
but
for shit.
But it's still wild to me at this point that it seems to be, like, a fairly, like, open thing.
Also, why can't Lucius break out? Try harder. Everyone else has done it.
Yeah.
Wimp.
Lucius is a himbo. I've decided.
I can see that. I see what you're saying about this argument. It's kind of... It comes out of nowhere. It's got a lot of tension. It's got a lot of tension. Like, ooh.
And like, ooh. And then the whole like caring mummy thing later on. I don't know. Like, I just...
Well, yeah, she's like grabbing and holding Jacob. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So Madame Malkin, being, you know, the queen she is, just tries to carry on fitting Draco's rope of him in the middle of the argument, because she's like, if I carry on as normal, maybe this will become normal. But Draco's like, bitch, get off my arm.
Yeah.
No, no, no. And then throws the robes off of him, which leads me to the obvious question. What does one wear under robes when one is getting a robe fitting? Is this man now standing naked or in his underwear? Or is he wearing a set of robes under his robes? Because he's sure as shit not wearing muggle clothes like the other three. Mm. Harry, Ron, Hermione wearing muggle clothes. This has been established.
Yeah.
Harry and Hermione own muggle clothes. Ron dresses a muggle in summer. This has been established.
That's a good point.
Draco would never. Draco would never.
So I was going to say the most logical thing for someone like young or underage would be that you would be wearing tight fitting. You'd be wearing like a vest top and maybe like a pair of like tight shorts or something.
Yeah, absolutely. That would make sense, because you can't be wearing another full set of robes under your robes, because that would... How are you going to fit them to your body? How are you going to fit the arms to your body?
But I love the idea, because obviously Draco would not be doing that. He would not be wearing muggle clothes. So yeah, he in supposedly like a move of strength just get stark bollock naked.
I cannot see what else is happening here.
He just undresses.
What a power move.
We're only going to be feeding the Germani people right now.
But also, Drarry. I was like, Drarry. We're going to be feeding that as well. Like, because he can't be wearing robes.
Are there any Dron strands? Strands?
Dron strands.
Dron stands?
Anyone out there?
Anyone?
Anyone? Dron? No.
No.
I don't understand what else he could be wearing. Unless wizards have a form of long underwear, but then he's still stalking out the shop.
Like, he's just in, like, a romper. Like, you know those things that, like, old-fashioned people used to go swimming in? It's stripes,
but it's
included.
Striped.
With, like, the thrills.
Slithering colours.
Striped slithering colours. It's got a little, peplum. Peplum
I
thing.
I think only the women wore one of peplums.
Fan art it, someone.
Someone tell me what he's wearing. Someone tell me. Someone give me a better explanation. So, yeah, Draco stalks off, and the three of them get fitted for their robes. Hermione almost gets sold men's dress robes, which is just a bit horrible to Hermione, but whatever. They leave with all their new robes. Yay! And then they head to Fred and George's shop. Which...
Before that, there's a mention of them going to the apothecary.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Ron and Harry don't get anything because they're not starting potions, but I literally just had the note because I'm just like, I would love to go to an apothecary. I just...
Imagine all the little drawers.
The little vials of things. Yeah. Like, oh...
Like, oh, can I have some of these? Yes, let me just...
This is, like, one of those magical things where, like, this is one of the reasons that someone's like, if you could live in just, like, a wizarding, not necessarily Harry Potter, but just, like, a wizarding magical world from some, like, fantasy thing, I'd be like, yes.
It's the fact that, like,
I want
she didn't...
to go to an apothecary.
It's the fact she didn't invent a new word. Apothecary was the word for an old, like, medicine shop. I just love it.
I love, like, with vintage furniture, like, apothecary drawers, you know, when it's, like, the square little, like...
And you're like, what can I fit in here anymore? It doesn't matter, but I want it.
Makeup. That's the thing. It's a perfect thing for makeup.
It is indeed.
But yeah, I want like an old like apothecary. These are the things as a 27-year-old that get me aroused. The idea of like vintage apothecary furniture.
Valid.
Yeah.
So yeah, they head over to Fred and George's shop, which is really bright. It's really, really bright. And it has a sign about, you know, poo in the window.
Yeah, this I feel like is the same. My mum has always told me that I'm going to die by stabbing, because she's like, you were a loud gobby shit with no filter. She's not wrong, but yeah, she's always told me that I'm gonna die, someone's gonna stab me because I'm gonna say something to someone in the street. She's not wrong, honestly. Sure. But I feel like Mrs. Weasley's concerns are the same here.
Yeah, she's like, they're gonna be murdered in their beds, and Ron's like, no they're not. I'm like, well, yeah, Florian Fortescue has literally been dragged out of his bed.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realms of possibility that these two could have their throats slit, in all honesty.
Yeah.
They literally have a sign that Florian Fortescue has been dragged out for we don't know what. And they have a sign in their window saying, you don't need to worry about you know who. You need to worry about you know poo.
Which, can I just say, as a child, well...
Hilarious.
the single funniest thing. Pinnacle I remember finding this hysterical. And, like, I genuinely don't know if this is funny or not, because I just find it funny from finding it funny as, like, a young teenager. Like, is this funny? I don't know. I do not know, because I find it funny, but then I'm like, if I read this for the first time as an adult, would I find this funny?
I don't know.
I inclined to think not, because I really hate toilet humor.
Yeah, I do as well. I do,
like,
as well.
You know when people are like, her fart? That's so funny. I'm like,
no, it isn't.
No. Which is why, I'm sorry to Americans, we're slanging you off a lot lately, but, like, I just, that, obviously not all, but that's, like, a lot of American sense of humor.
It is.
And I'm like, I just don't find that funny.
Yeah, I agree.
But this, I find funny.
Yeah. So they walk in, they're kind of looking around, they get a bit split up, and Harry and Hermione, they find a display of patented daydream charms, which produce highly realistic daydreams, which Fred and George have put on the bottle that they cannot sell to under 16-year-olds.
I know what you're going to say.
I think we all know what I'm going to say. I think we all know what we're all thinking, don't we? This is like a some sort of...
Oh,
porn,
maybe I don't know.
Porn imagination simulator. Is it not? I'm sorry. Is it not?
No, you're right. That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, God. No, the picture on the bottle is like a woman and a man on a pirate ship embracing. Like, this is some sort of sexual fantasy daydream maker that J.K. Rowling is making a subtle joke about. Right?
Okay.
Right?
Okay, I'm putting a pin in this because for some bizarre, uncharacteristic reason, I hadn't thought about that. What I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to make a parallel between this and people shifting.
No, but yes. But no, it did vaguely cross my mind that this is probably a dangerous thing for them to sell, because surely people would become addicted to this, because they're literally living through a war at the moment and they're selling a product that gives them a highly realistic, pleasurable daydream.
Yeah.
This is something that people can get addicted to.
Yeah, like, if I could go into my good dreams, I would not want to leave. Admittedly, I wouldn't want to go into my dreams like last night, where someone was essentially, like, milking juice out of my knuckles, which I explained to Hannah earlier, and she just looked at me like... What?
Yeah, you fully scared me.
Like, no, but it stuck with me. I keep thinking about it and I'm like, mate, so uncomfortable at that, like, notion of someone, like, penetrating my...
Anyway,
my subconscious is a scary place. Anyway, taking the pin out of the, I want this. Like,
did you not think it was sexual?
No, this is so unlike me, but this is something that you picked up or that I didn't somehow pick up on.
Because then I was finding it hilarious that Hermione is so interested in these that Harry walks off for a good 10 minutes with Fred and George. They come back and she's still holding it. I'm like, girl!
You know what? I get it, Hermione. I get it, because I have, like, a vivid imagination, but I really, really struggle to masturbate just to my imagination.
We're going deep in this episode.
I don't care. I have no filter. I don't care about people knowing this kind of thing.
No,
maybe
that's fine.
Maybe I should.
Girls should talk about this more because men talk about it all the fucking time. Sick of hearing
exactly.
It.
But I struggle when it's just my imagination. And I think part of it's because I'm such a realist person. And you've not seen How I Met Your Mother, but there's a bit in that where there's a couple that've been together forever and they're very, very in love. And the male character Marshall is like, oh no, I can't masturbate to my imagination because I have to come up with a background plot of why my wife has been killed off but wants this. So it is to have a sexual fantasy about anyone other than his wife. He has to kill off his wife in a way where she dies yes, be with someone else, move on.
No,
and then he can
funny.
Yeah, but that's kind of what
that's
I'm like.
Kind of
not,
what I've like.
Not in the same way where I'm committed to someone, but I get bogged down in I want to have some unrealistic fantasy. And then sorry, I'm just going to say
someone
this.
Will pop into
I,
your head but what about this detail? And you're like, leave me alone.
I'm too realistic about it. I'm not going to one of my biggest fantasies is to have sex with multiple men at the same time. And whenever I try and fantasize about this, my brain's just like, but STDs, but how would you feasibly have this that they all have been tested for every single STD and then not had any sexual encounter with anyone else. And like, I get so bogged down worrying about STDs that it ruins the sexual fantasy for me. I'm like, this is not real. Why am I spending more time thinking about how I genuinely, to enjoy the fantasy, I have to set up in my head a scenario in which all of these people would have been tested for STDs and then not had sex with anyone else between all of them having sex with me so that I can enjoy that sexual fantasy. And if I don't do that, I can't just think, oh yeah, yeah, I'm having sex with multiple people. Like, I can't enjoy that. I have to go through the plot in my made up world.
Plot. Yeah, the plot.
That leads to this point that all of these STD-free people are having sex with me in order for me to be able to enjoy it.
Because it's weird how similar we are. The thing is, not that what you're saying, but to do with the thing of like working through everything, the niche of
TikTok. Do you kill off Neil?
Yes. The niche of TikTok found me.
Oh.
And I'm like, stop. Where they basically fall asleep or anything. This is not necessarily sexual at all, just falling asleep by scenarioizing. So basically imagining scenarios in their head.
No, I don't understand.
Good. I thought I was the only person that did this. I found the people on TikTok.
Wait, no,
this.
But do people not do this?
Charlotte, most people don't do this.
No, but what?
Babe, we're really... I've tried to ask other people. No, because what? I've been interesting and I've tried to ask them. I found like one other person.
What?
You're the second person I've found in real life.
No, but...
No, honey.
No, I genuinely don't understand.
No. I've asked Neil. It's a no.
What?
And I've asked other people and it's a no.
But...
No. I found one other...
No, but I genuinely don't understand.
I know.
What?
I know.
They lie down and what? Like, what is...
I know. I've tried... I know.
What is...
I don't know.
What? Just like... Just static. Like, I
or
don't...
like, blurry thoughts. They're not scenarioizing.
What?
And I only know because I've come across it on TikTok and people are like, finally, I found someone that gets it. Because do you literally lie down and get frustrated if the scene doesn't start from the place where it stopped the night before and you want to play it in the right order?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And like, and I have like, not even a decade would not be doing it justice. I have plots that have been going on for 15 years.
Oh my God, yeah. Like I have like...
That I revisit. I have my favourite plots. I don't always go from where I left off. Sometimes I start it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like
when I
have different
really
genres
one,
of ones. Some are not sexual, some are sexual. Like,
yeah, when I get a really good one, I look forward to going to bed so I can like work out the next bit.
Yeah. Is this... But also, Neil falls asleep like that. Sometimes I say things that make us sound like an actual throuple. I know
Neil
this because...
falls asleep like this. I've watched him do it.
I know this because both Hannah and Neil have told me this.
No, I'm Charlie, not... most people don't do this.
But maybe this is why Neil falls... Because he's not fucking imagining shit. Like,
but I can't not!
I don't understand. What? You lie down and what happens?
Tweet us if you scenarioize. I want a poll.
Like, the only way that I don't do this is if I'm listening to an audiobook.
Yeah.
And even then, sometimes I ignore the audiobook because I'm like, I'd rather be in my world.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
I'm so curious.
I'm glad we do the same thing.
I'm not even joking. Like,
I didn't know you didn't know this was normal. I only found out recently. I only found it in the last few years.
I genuinely...
And I've come to terms with that, but I only found out about 2 years ago it wasn't normal.
But I don't understand. I genuinely...
Or not, like, clearly there's enough people where it's, like, a thing on TikTok.
Yeah, but, like,
I have a few other people.
But it's more that I don't understand what anyone else does. Like, they
lie down, and
I don't understand what happens.
Neither do I.
For me, it's like I'm flicking through a Rolodex of, like, ooh.
Ooh, what am I going to look at
what
tonight?
What am I
going to
be tonight? Like,
no, 100%. Anyway, it really relates to painted daydream trance, which sound like they're doing exactly what we're doing right now, but not working
but, like,
out the details.
But, like, better, because I'm not having to, like, get everyone STD tested.
And maybe they're not sold to under 16-year-olds because...
Yeah.
Of the fact that it is dangerous to want to live in your dream world forever. But my first thought went, ha, 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 they're sexual. And Hermione's like holding it like.
I can't believe mine didn't. But yeah, I can see this for Hermione because I feel like she's got the neurotic kind of brain that I do that she would want something that's going to fully immerse her.
Because, 100%. Yeah, because also that. It's
like even now, like, you know, obviously you can do like 3D and like VR porn and stuff like that, but I'm still like...
Fred is like, cool, Hermione's looking at this painted daydream charm so intensely that I'm just going to take Harry off and abandon Hermione. He's literally like, come on, Harry, bye, bitch.
Yep.
And takes him around the shop. He is like... Ooh, look at all of this. Oh, but first he's like, Hermione, here's some bruise cream. Get rid of that fucking black eye, yeah. You idiot. So Fred and George, turns out, have accidentally made bank doing, like, dark spell protection.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome.
Go them. What business, then?
Yeah. But also, like...
Do you not find Fred and George really sexy in this chapter?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. I'm like, they're so funny. And now they're... business.
Yeah, and obviously, as we discuss it, like they absolutely have their flaws. But yeah, now that they're like really owning their shit, like in their element, like being like businessman, I'm like, yeah, daddy, like absolutely. Damn. But like, what annoys me about this is like, especially because like I get like the comedic factor that Ron's like, let me have this stuff, and they're like, no, and like they do it well in the films where they're like, I'm your brother, and they're like extra then, yeah. Like. It's funny. But, like, I'm just, like, with the, like, self-defense stuff, I'm like, you know that your brother and his two best friends every single year get themselves into some...
Well, they do give Harry whatever he wants for free. Harry... I think they're being facetious to Ron because they know Harry will just pick it up.
But, like, I just... I feel like they should have actually fully equipped it, Ron, Harry, and Hermione.
Oh, they should have. They should have sent them a load of shit.
With every single... thing that they had in their arsenal,
especially
knowing that they, I mean, to say that they get themselves into scraps every year is
especially at the beginning of the next book when Harry and Hermione are open about the fact they're leaving together, are open about they're not returning to Hogwarts, and Fred and George aren't like, here's an entire arsenal of every dark arts thing we've ever invented. That shit's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
But even in this, like, this year, they absolutely should have been like, hey, no, Ron gets himself into these genuinely dangerous, you know, it's not about like, oh, banter, he's our younger brother that we don't really like. I'm sorry. If you can save his life, save his life.
Absolutely. So yeah, they show them all this defense against the dark art stuff, and Harry can take whatever he wants because he is their investor, which is kind of cute.
Cute, but also... bit of a raw deal on Harry's end, realistically.
And talking... shouldn't he have a percentage profit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like not just, oh, like, freebies for life. I'm sorry.
If he gave you that startup money, he should get a percentage of your sales.
How many shares does he have, realistically? Yeah. Like, when you IPO, what is his cut going
to
be?
Yeah. So, yeah, Fred and George take Harry to the back room. They're, like, bossing it.
Yeah, they do.
Ministry are buying up hundreds of their protection things, which go them. Just go them.
But also give it to your loved ones.
I know. Ridiculous. And then they walk back out the front. Hermione and Ginny are still fascinated with these daydream charms. Yeah. So then he's like, come and see all my Wonder Witch products, which, ew!
Yeah, and they're like, we hear you don't need the help, Ginny. And then they just start slut-shaming her.
Yeah, so then, they're like, okay. So first they're like, here's some love potions that work based on the something of the boy and the weight of the boy and the attractiveness of the girl. Thank you.
Yikes to both of these things.
Thank you.
Like, the weight thing was iffy. I could buy it in terms of, like, a scientific, like, it's like more, alcohol.
Yeah,
like,
more potion for bigger person. Fine. Good. Yeah. Go
It's
off.
Like a tolerance thing. The attractiveness is subjective.
Mm-mm-mm. Not according to Mr. Fred and Mr. George over here. No. But also, they are selling these potions
which they
unregulated to school children.
And they shouldn't be. This is so dodgy. They're literally...
We have to talk about...
Trigger warning!
...potions so much in this series.
Insert trigger warning here. These are rape potions.
Honestly, the thing is...
it's like, haha, comical, because it's fine when women rape people.
Honestly,
no!
I was so excited. I am so excited for book 6. I think it's one of the ones I'm most excited for because it's just a really fun book. But much like the thing I knew we were going to get to with the centaurs, the thing that I was dreading about this book was the entire love potion discussion, because I just don't want to have it. Not because it's not an important discussion to have, just because... We all know it's bad. There's no getting around that, even if it's played for laughs. And it's an important discussion to have, but it's just like... Fred and George are selling these unregulated to school children, man. Like, these are as bad as an unforgivable curse. Yeah. Like, come on!
It does... It adds to their greyness, which I don't think JK ever meant to be greyness, admittedly.
No. And I don't think she ever... The thing is, I was about to say, I don't think she ever considered love potions in the dark effects they have. But yes, she absolutely did, because she introduces them here in this chapter so that our brains are used to them. Not that we haven't heard about them before. We have.
Yeah.
So we hear about them in, like, book three when Mrs. Weasley mentions them. We understand that they're a thing. We hear about them now. We hear about them in Slughorn's class. And then we learn how they were abused with Voldemort's mother. So, like, there's a build-up to this. And obviously Ron takes one, and that's meant to be the playoff for laughs that's like, oh, this is how they can be used in school compared to the absolute darkness of how they were used in Voldemort. This book is setting them up. But, like, that's still Fred and George using something that we learn within the same book was used for such horrific dark purposes.
Exactly. Yeah, she never treats them as a morally grey character. She never...
Or even that, like, they didn't realise and therefore have a lesson to learn. I'd accept a storyline where they were like, oh my God, we never thought they could be used in this.
After this affected our brother. But it's one of the many things that she absolutely doesn't follow through on, which I think is very representative of her... liberal, I would hesitate to even say left-wing politics. I feel like it's one of those things where people are like, oh yeah, her left-wing politics, like she's right of centre if anything, but people tend to mistake those kind of like liberal politics as like left-wing when they're not. Anyway, but like it's very classic of that kind of like breed of politics, but it's something she does, we talk about it a lot, time and time again, of like starting things that she cannot finish and not thinking big enough, like having absolutely no interest in actually tearing down the systems. And it's like weird because it's like the consequences that she sets up for using a love potion is that your child will be born this evil thing without love. And I know a certain degree of that is obviously what fans have filled in, but it's still implied. It is.
I completely, heavily disagree with this theory, and I'm so excited to talk about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it a bit in the past.
Ooh, I'm so excited to fight about this.
And like, I see particularly like because we talked about it with Black Girls Create, and I see their point of view. But I'm still like a massive fan of this theory, and
I'm excited to get into it.
Because I'm excited. I love it when we disagree with things.
Yeah, because when we... this has been brewing for 4 years. Because when we first started talking about Harry Potter, first started talking about running a podcast, you mentioned how much you like this theory to me. And I was like, in my head, I didn't even mention it at the time. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And in my head, I was like, that is my most hated Harry Potter theory.
I love it with a burning passion.
And I'm so excited to discuss it.
Yeah, we so rarely disagree on things. I love it when we do.
Yeah.
Let's
set up a ring and actually box it out.
No, because I love a discussion. But like, I do. I absolutely see the criticisms of that theory. I do. I still personally love it for like reasons we will go into later. But like, either way, like regardless of like that entire theory, like, the consequences that are set up in the book of using this love potion is that ultimately he leaves her and they have this like evil abandoned child thing. You cannot deny, regardless of your opinion on those series, those are the consequences.
Yeah. This is the worst case scenario for using one. Hi.
Yeah. And it's like, really? This is like a man has been repeatedly raped, not only raped, but his time and his life stolen for him. He has essentially been raped and kept captive for a year minimum. And the consequences that you are exploring are essentially the impact that this has on the child. Really, JK, as a writer, are you not going to explore the consequences for the male victim in this? I mean, obviously, I know that we have no faith in JK as a writer at this point at all, but like, I don't understand how you can write that in and think at no point like,
I think
like, should I explore this, like,
writing in of all of these people were bad people. Like, he was set up before he was a rape victim as a bad person. That doesn't mean that he deserves it in any way. That doesn't mean that...
He wasn't a great character, but I don't feel like he... Admittedly, maybe I need to reread it, but it's like...
I remember him describing something as a hovel, but maybe that was the person he was with, like...
But, like, but even that... I mean, not that anything justifies what happened to him, but, like, it's like... You know, there's being like a product of your upbringing and like living like a sheltered privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which I'm not excusing, but it's like that's a far cry from being a bad person.
No, not at all. I don't know. I kind of, growing up, I kind of viewed it as they're all bad people, not that therefore anyone deserves the... She was kind of trying to write one of those really complicated storylines, which I love in adult books, but are very, very difficult to get across in children's books, where everyone is extremely grey, bad things happen to everyone, everyone is slightly a bad person. That's a very valid story to write. Not everyone needs retribution. Okay, here's the thing. In adult books, and here's the thing about J.K. Rowling's writing in general. In adult books, you are allowed to write stories where people do bad things, people are bad people, and they do not get retribution for those actions, because that is life. But those are inherently adult stories. J.K. Yeah. Rowling is writing a children's story, even if it has more adult themes, where good defeats evil. Therefore, it gets very complicated when she adds in elements of these, like, everyone is bad and you're not getting retribution for these bad actions, when her inherent crux of her storyline is the good will defeat the evil. You know?
Mm.
Like, The Casual Vacancy was her doing that. Everyone is inherently immoral.
Yeah.
And you do not get comeuppance for the actions that you do because we live in an inherently corrupt world.
Yeah.
That's what The Casual Vacancy is. But her putting bits of that into Harry Potter, which is a good versus evil story, becomes very complicated.
I think how it reads to me is that J.K. Rowling is evil, horrible person and a very flawed writer. Yeah. And I think that... thing is, when we read it at the time, like, I had my doubts. I was like, I don't think that... It is that she sees rape as a punishment for Umbridge. However, now that I'm taking this into account, I think that she is a bad person and that she does see rape as a punishment for bad behaviour. Mm. She had Umbridge raped. Mm. And I think that I personally, at this point of reading the books and knowing what we know about J.K. Rowling, believe that she did know about that. She studied it at the end of the day. We also have jokes made about it by characters afterwards. It just makes me deeply uncomfortable. I do believe that she knew about it. I think that she is someone that's like, yes, Umbridge is an evil character, so she gets raped. She's like this, you know, Tom Riddle is a, you know, shitty character and his punishment is rape. I think that my reading from this is that J.K. Rowling is a very flawed, shitty, horrible person that has no issue seeing rape as a punishment. And maybe she wouldn't go as far as to literally like write, and then this character got raped and that was their comeuppance, but she has no issue implying rape as an implied punishment. I think that she layers it up in enough, not thrills, but I guess layers, that she doesn't feel like she's writing rape as a punishment, but ultimately she is. That's what she's doing. She, at this point, this is multiple times now that she has had characters raped as a punishment.
Yeah. The crux of this whole discussion to relate to this chapter is I find it very odd that she is trying to set up love potions in this book, because they become important at the end of the book when we are learning about Voldemort's love story. And the way she sets them up is two of our characters who are inherently good characters are trying to sell them to their sister. And they're like surrogate sister who stays at their house the whole time.
Yeah, and it's also so odd.
That is what is bizarre in this chapter that we're trying to get to, is that these are set up as bad things. Marope did a bad thing.
Mm.
But here we are having them set up with Fred and George trying to sell them to their own sister.
And it's also like a really sexist moment as well, because we have Ginny, who clearly fucking doesn't need love potions. And we have Hermione that has expressed little to no interest in love at this point. It's like, you know, she got Crumb. She didn't need a love potion
she
there.
She literally got the most famous Quidditch star in the world.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah. And then, she's pining after Ron, but I don't feel like that's to a degree that Fred and George. And I feel like for the last book, she was off that shit. That was not on her radar particularly. She was off on her, like, bitchy weirdness. But, like, yeah, so it's so odd, whereas we have Harry and Ron, who have spent the last however many books pining after women, viewing women as, like, weird, impossible objects. It's like, if you want to try and sell a love potion to anyone,
it's going to be
these, like, creepy fucking incels that are just, like, obsessed with any woman that blink in their directions. Like, literally, like, you have these two desperate virgin males. Like, that's who you shouldn't sell a love potion to anyone. But if you're going to sell a potion, love potion to someone, you would sell it to Harry and Ron over Hermione and Ginny that clearly don't need help.
No, they're in the Wonder Witch line because then George...
Because
then George is like, actually, I can't sell this to you because you have five boys on the go. And Ginny's like, are you going out with Dean Thomas? And Ginny is like, yes, I am going out with Dean Thomas. Last time I checked, he was one, not five boys. These pygmy puffs are cute. Stop talking to me about this. And they just keep going in. Fred is like, you're moving through boys too fast.
Let her. Men are sometimes hot.
The thing is,
like,
very occasionally in literature, the protective older brother trait is done well and in a sexy way. It is hard to do it within the I want to write a feminist story and have a protective older brother. And this text shows how not to do it.
Yeah. And I will admit that it's very off the time that I would have read this as a teenager. Like, yeah, Ginny's a slut. Fuck her. Like, absolutely, I don't think
I would have read it like that. I would have read it like, no, Ginny's fine, but Fred, George and Ron are just being protective.
I don't know. Do you not remember how, like, prolific slut shaming was when we were, like, teenagers?
I do, but I don't feel
it was like if you kissed two boys, you were a tramp and you were written off.
I don't know. I feel like in the context of these books, they're trying to set up Ginny as Harry's love interest, so I don't feel like she is being... She's kind of seen as cool.
I just
cool
mean in terms of,
Fred,
like, me as a reader, yeah. I wouldn't have seen any slight issue with this.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, like, she is a slut. Like, she's going through men. Like, as a teenager. Yes. However, the point of this podcast is that we're now reading it as slightly more enlightened adults, and...
She is not moving through boys too fast, Fred and George.
And also, I'm sorry, if a man is not making you happy, is not serving the purpose, bin him.
Cut that bitch out.
Drink more of your Prosecco, lightweight.
My throat hurts. Turns out Fred and George know all this because Ron's been a gossipy little bitch to them. Ron's been like, meh, meh, meh. So Ginny's just like, stop talking, can I have a pygmy puff?
Yeah.
And then Harry and Hermione, when Ginny is like, I want a pygmy puff, are distracted because they see Draco Malfoy stalking past the shop window.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hermione and Ron are discussing what he could be doing. They're like, how did he sneak away from Mummy? Like, what's he doing? And Harry says the line, Harry said nothing. He was thinking too hard.
Head empty, no thoughts.
Head empty, no thoughts. Good old Harry. Like, good old protagonist of this
book.
We've
all been
there. He cannot speak words because his brain is thinking too hard.
Big mood.
Poor little boy.
Yeah.
So they put on the invisibility cloak, which I love. I don't think the three of them have put this on in a really long time.
No, it's
so
also
cute.
But it's definitely at this point implausible. They're 3 16-year-olds.
No, but I love that it's in the text that it's flapping around their knees. Like, it's ridiculous.
It is. They must be so close. I'm sorry, at least one of those boys had a raging hard on.
Yeah, they are literally pressed against each other, like, little run.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would love to see this in a film because it could be played off as a comedy moment while their feet are just like,
But also, I would like love to see, like, at the end when they're like done following and they're like back in the shop and like Hermione and Harry just like ducking out under the thing and Ron staying under and they're like, come on, Ron, what are you doing? He's like, I just need a minute. Don't ask why. I just need a minute.
Oh, Ron.
He's like, ping me puff, ping me puff, ping me puff.
Ping me puff. So they follow Draco Malfoy down to Borgin and Burke's. And luckily for plot convenience, Ron is carrying a box of extendable ears because...
Why wouldn't he be?
Why wouldn't he be at this point? So, yeah, Draco's gone into Borgin and Burke's. And oh, I love the way the cabinet's written in this chapter. It is really well written. Yeah. The way that Draco is speaking in the classic, I'm not going to give the plot away. Keep that one safe. I need that fixed. You need to work out how to fix that. But the narrator and Harry keep getting frustrated that they can't see Draco properly.
What's he talking about? This giant cabinet's in the way.
I can't see what he's showing because a giant cabinet's in the way. Brilliant. Hilarious. It's almost like really good.
It's almost slapstick.
It's almost a wink to the audience. It's almost like, I can't see what he's talking about.
This big old cabinet's in the way.
But I love that it's also set up like, this is the cabinet that Harry hid in. Before,
yeah,
you know the cabinet. You and I know the cabinet.
When has another cabinet been mentioned in this series?
Come on, people, put the work in. I do really like it. Yeah. It's really good.
This is something I've really been enjoying. Yes, I'm going to reference the Kingkiller Chronicle. I will reference it until Hannah gives in and actually reads it. But because the third of that hasn't been released, despite it being over a decade, which is painful, there's like as much foreshadowing and hinting, if not more, in that than in the entire Harry Potter things. So it's like, now that I've read the first two and I'm going back and I'm doing a second reread, I get to spot all the little things that I missed for the first time, but I'm also adding up. I'm like making connections here and there, to the point where, and I'm bad at predicting things, but I think that I have worked out probably 80% of the third book. And it's so fun getting to be an adult going through this, doing this, and there's other people on Reddit doing it, and I'm like, I feel like I'm going through what people did with Harry Potter that were like more adult at the time, and getting to share these online theories because the last one hasn't been out in over a decade.
That's so fun, because I feel like I could have had that and wish I could have had that with Game of Thrones, and I think there are still elements I can almost have, but the end game is George R. R. Martin has said is what the TV show did, but I'm like loads of bits, so I'm like, but you've set that up, is this gonna happen?
But this, and genuinely, because it is amazing, read Kingkiller Chronicles.
Okay.
You can borrow the books. I have them. Like, honestly, it's very Game of Thrones,
okay,
including the decade between the last book, but it's allegedly coming at some
point,
allegedly.
Right, but like, faster.
But like, genuinely, I'm like, I'm having so much fun. I think I've worked out the majority of the third book. But the fun of it is I could read that third book and be like, I got everything wrong, but there was stuff. And
everything.
Like, but like, there's fan theories online, people like translating things, like linking the most insane, like, but this one character was described with this one word, and that one word rhymes with this one word, which is a third of this other character's last name. So the fact that this character was described with this word, which rhymes with this other word, which makes up a third of this character's last name, must mean that they're related. And you're like, what are you talking about?
No.
But like, it's so much fun because it reminds me of like Harry Potter of this era that was the same thing. Like, people just going to insane lengths to be like, I must work this out. And like, the cabinet is a similar thing. You would have to go into insane detail to crawl through all of the books to be like, when has another cabinet been mentioned?
Cabinets.
It's brilliant.
I love the cabinet
it's
thing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. And, you know, I say this about Doctor Who. I loved Doctor Who when it originally came back because you could work it out. And it
The bad wolf reveal was the best reveal of my fucking life.
Yeah.
I will die on this hill.
And that's when it got bad, when Stephen Moffat took over, because there was no foreshadowing. You couldn't work it out. It was good when it was Russell T. Davies because you could work it out.
But also, it was subtle in it. And the way that episode did the flashback to all the times we've seen the word bad wolf, when I say my jaw was on the fucking floor.
It was so good. Yeah, I want to be able to work shit out. And people are like, but it like takes the surprise out of it. I don't fucking care. And when people are like, I don't know. It's like Game of Thrones clearly tried to subvert expectations.
The show did. You say that. What I really like about George R. R. Martin is the interview he did when he said it is utterly cowardly when writers get frustrated that fans have worked out the ending online.
Yeah.
That means they're dedicated to your book. That means that you have enough of a following that they have trawled through. How dare you write a series in mind that the butler did it, and then because fans worked it out, say that the footman did it. That is offensive. And I was like, yes.
But
yes.
Yeah. That's literally... Like, I love that because, to me, something is only good if you can work it out.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be, like, a completely, a wild
plot. It's going to be difficult to work out.
Yeah.
But that's
and it
the
can
genius
be a plot twist,
writers.
But it can only be a plot twist if you can still work it out.
Yeah.
It might
and
be really hard. There might be, you know, red flags all over the place and things to distract you.
Knives Out was one of the best films of the last 10 years. I will die on this hill too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because watching it back a second time, you could work it out. You exactly. just about could.
Exactly. Like, I just, yeah, I want to be able to work it out. And that's what, you know, I'm envious about, that people were older when Harry Potter was coming out. That's what I'm enjoying about Name of the Wind, is that I now get to actually, yes, I would rather the third book was out after an entire decade. I don't understand how you spend a decade writing something. But, like, I'm like, at least I get to come up with these theories, and I'm doing my second reread doing the audiobooks, and I'm literally, I will be listening to it before bed, and I'm like, I'm not going to get any sleep because I'm like, oh my God. I'm like realizing things. That's I'm so like, exciting. Yeah, it's oh, so good.
I love that. So yeah, they're still listening on extendable ears, and they work out that Draco wants something fixed, but he cannot bring it in because he just can't, and says Borgin has to tell him how to fix it. And he then, when Borgin's like, nah, that's impossible, he shows Borgin something that persuades him that Harry and
his dick.
See, his dick. And this is the thing that kind of pisses me off. Hermione is a very practical person, but plays completely dumb in this book by being like, I don't know, like, no, he can't be a Death Eater. And Harry's like, what else could he have shown him? And Hermione's like, I don't know. What else could he have shown yeah. him? What else could he have shown him?
It really annoys me. And I'm going to make another reference here. But, like, the same thing happens in Buffy all the time, where it's like you have this protagonist that has a history of having theories and suspicions and being correct. And every damn season / Harry Potter book, it happens where it's like the main protagonist is like, I think this person's up to something. And everyone goes, no, they're not. And then by the end of the season / book, it's like that person was up to something. And then you get 5 season / books in, and the main protagonist is like, I think this person's up to something. And everyone goes, no, they're not. And you're like, have you not learnt?
No, but this is one of my favourite things about Harry Potter. Book one, Harry's like, it's Snape. And everyone's like, okay. And it wasn't Snape. Book two, Harry's like, it's Draco. It wasn't Draco. Book three, not quite, but similar. Snape's involved, but he's not. But turns out he was an all right. Book four, was it Snape? Was it Karkaroff? No. Book five, is Draco involved? No. Book six, Harry's like, it's Snape and Draco. And everyone's like, no, it's not.
But yeah,
that's good. That's
no,
really
it is
good.
It is, but I'm also like, he is the chosen one.
But he's been wrong every year. Every year, this boy has been wrong.
But so have Ron and Hermione.
Well, yeah,
they were normally right there with him.
I know, but this year they're just like, no, you just fancy him. Get out.
Yeah,
yeah. I know.
It just,
because what else could he be showing Borgin? What?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm sorry. You need to identify the main character in your life and believe them.
What did you mean? I am the main character in my own life.
No, but like, okay, like, fair enough if you honestly think that you are. But like, I'm trying to think who is the main character in my life.
You. If you don't believe you're the main character in your own life, then you're not living your life right. You are the main character in your own story.
I agree to like a certain extent in that you need to be your priority, but I don't agree that everyone is a main character. There are only certain people that would have media made of their life.
I believe that we all have to try to believe we're the main character.
For sure, and you know, you should absolutely prioritise yourself and treat you as like the main focus and priority. However, if we're like, I feel like that's a different thing to talking realistically about, like, there is someone, at least one person in everyone's life that is the kind of person that would get a book, a film, yeah, a TV show, some kind of media made about them, and that is not every person.
Yeah, yeah,
so I
true.
Think it's a different thing from like treating yourself like a main character, which absolutely you should do, and actually being realistic about being like, realistically, no one is going to write a book, make a film, write a TV show about my life. All I do is work and then make dinner, and then I either work or I watch Netflix.
You don't know, something exciting could happen.
Maybe. It's not happened yet.
I just haven't met you yet. When he went to record that song, he met his future wife on the set of that music video. If that is not beautiful, did you know this?
No.
Okay, so Michael Bublé wrote that song and he'd never met the love of his life. Yeah, he was just kind of having fun. He was saying, I just haven't met you yet, but I know it's going to be amazing. He married the woman that he recorded that music video with.
That's amazing.
He met her while he was recording that music video.
That's so good.
That's fate. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's main character energy.
Exactly. But not, I'm sorry, not everyone has that.
Okay. So then they hear that another of the thing that needs fixing, Borgin has, so there's two of them, but Draco can't take it with him because he'd look ridiculous walking with that down the street.
Yeah.
So, whoa, loads of clues. He couldn't lift a fucking cabinet. Have you seen Draco Malfoy? He's a little weedy little bitch.
But also, like, Hermione's like, is it the necklace later on? You're like, use your brain. He could carry a necklace.
Then he's like, is it the skull? You put a skull in a bag, Hermione. Come on, it's got to be big or weird.
Yeah.
Come on. So then Hermione, but fair to her, goes fucking balls to the wall. Like, Harry and Ron are just like, I don't know what it could be. And Hermione literally, without asking the two of them, without, you know, saying, do you think I should do this?
And she
ducks out from under the cloak and just puts on a disguise and goes in there. Badly.
Badly.
But go... this bitch. She's like, I'm just going to do this.
She does something. She
really tries a thing. It goes
I feel
terribly.
Like it's a classic like male-female difference of men will just like sit around complaining about something and the woman's like, I'm actually going to do something about this.
I'm actually going to try.
Yeah.
And then, she goes in and she's like, hi, and it's funny because she's clearly meant to be set up to be kind of like flirty and funny, which is kind of amusing because we haven't really seen Hermione played off in Harry's eyes like that before, because she like checks her hair in the mirror. And she's like, the line is, this lovely skull. Why is that not in the film? Just Hermione saying,
brilliant.
Is this lovely skull? Brilliant. So yeah, she's trying to be like, what? And then she's like, yes, this was my friend Draco who was in before. Did he reserve anything? And Borgin's like, get the fuck out of my shop. And Ron has the audacity to say, good plan. Didn't do a very good job though. And she's like, I didn't see you trying.
Yeah.
Master of mystery.
Yeah.
Good clapback.
All
good
the boys clapback. Do is criticize what she does good, as good if they would be so much more lost without
I
her.
I love that she calls him master of mystery. Just
And you know what? She might not have found out what the object is, but she ruled out two things.
She did. She did a better job than them and Mr. Complainy Ron. But then Harry's like, they bickered the whole way back to the shop, and I'm like, Harry, I think at this point you don't recognize what flirting is.
Yeah.
Like, they're flirting, and you're just also standing under the cloak, like,
like, I don't know. I'd like, I feel like at this point we need to open the doors to a reading of Autistic Harry, because
I think that's valid. Because, boy, in like a few chapters, is gonna be like, I thought this could happen with Ron and Hermione for a while. Then build it into other chapters, Joe!
Like, I know it's bad writing and I don't want to, like, equate bad writing to, like, autism at all. But it's just, like, it's the way when eventually he's like, yes, I've been wondering this might... Have a thought about it!
And the way
Fuck
he's like,
me! Like,
the way he's like, they're constantly bickering. This, right here, when they're stuck around a cloak together and she's just called him Master of Mystery, that's... flirting. They're flirting.
Yes.
And Harry's like...
Yeah. It's like whenever he meets a new character, we get at least a paragraph about whether they're hot or not. And yet he can't even think to himself, my God, my best friends fancy each other. No. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
I don't understand, Harry. Have a fucking thought.
No, he can't speak while he has thoughts, remember?
No. Oh, yeah. So true.
So, they arrive back at the shop and then they're like, no, we're in the back room the whole time.
Yeah, my note was that they gaslight Mrs. Weasley.
They really do.
They do.
Gaslight. They're like, you just didn't see
You
her.
Didn't see. You didn't look hard enough.
You didn't see the three of us who are, you know, Harry Potter, your incredibly tall 7-foot son, and Hermione Granger, the girl that spends every summer with you.
I rewatched Twilight last night for the millionth time because, of course, I did.
It's a camp of a film at this point.
Oh, it so is. But, like, I genuinely... For not the first time, I was laughing out loud at the bit when after Edward saves her from the car and he's just like, what are you on about, Bella? I was right next to you. And she's like, no, you weren't. You were really far away. And he's like, well, no one's going to believe you. Because it's just so like it's like when people stereotypically write gaslighting, that's what they write. to the T. Yeah. And then it's like a full-on film was just like, yeah, let's just like whip out the gaslighting handbook. So funny.
Gaslighting 101 with Edward Cullen. It genuinely, like,
that scene only comes across comedic to me because of what a cliche it is.
Gaslighting like, 101 with Harry.
I didn't do that. Are you crazy? No one's going to believe you anyway.
Weasley, we were in the back room the whole fucking time. You're just blind, mate.
Are you crazy, Mrs. Weasley? Like.
And that's the end of the chat.
It is.
I think we have a question. We do.
Oh, yes. Wow, no, say that enthusiastically.
We have
you?
A question! Woo!
What is it?
It's a simple one. It's a kiss, marry, kill. Snog, ooh, marry, avoid. Kiss, snog, marry, murder. There are two. The first one's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
McGonagall. Oh. Oliver Wood.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry.
I've got one.
I would snog Oliver Wood.
Yep.
I would murder Hermione,
yep,
and I would marry McGonagall.
My exact same thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to Hermione. I really am.
She can be annoying. That's the thing.
And she would come up high on most other lists, but that, yeah, those three, that, you are really playing.
You've got there, like long-term lovability.
Rexy, you, yeah, really chose chaos with
you
this
did,
one.
You did.
And I would tend to agree.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
snog the shit out of, I mean, yeah, fuck Oliver Wood.
Yeah.
Marry McGonagall because she'd give you biscuits. And yeah.
I would make it last a long time with Oliver Wood. Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, that would last a couple of days.
Valid. And then she gave us another one. And this, she chose chaos the other way.
Oh, no.
Peter Pettigrew, Umbridge, and Bellatrix.
Fuck Bellatrix, fuck Bellatrix, fuck Bellatrix, fuck Bellatrix, fuck Bellatrix, fuck Bellatrix, fuck. Sorry.
I would kill Umbridge because she is just such an abhorrent character, yeah, and I just want her dead. I would marry Peter because although he's a terrible person, he might be a somewhat attentive husband.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. I feel like he would be a simp,
yeah,
in that he would be your slave. You would not have to speak to him, nope, have sex with him, interact with him, nope, but he would absolutely run around after, yep, you.
If he thinks himself in love with me, he would simp for me and I could live with that.
Exactly.
And then I would kiss slash bang Bellatrix because, oh, yeah, that's going to be an experience.
I would do that for free.
Wow,
willingly.
So I'm glad we agreed so clearly on these. Thank you, Rexy.
Because we're the same person.
That was really fun. I love that you just sent a simple snog, marry, avoid. Like, brilliant. Love it.
Yeah, yeah, love that. That was a great question. I enjoyed that greatly.
Thank you so much for listening to this very long episode.
Yes, sorry, there was a lot of tangents.
A lot of tangents about Draco's detour, which to me, when I read it, I was like, this is a short chapter, this one went long at all.
Yeah, I think we don't try to stay on topic anymore.
Thank you guys, yeah, so much for listening.
And we will see you in the next one, which hopefully won't be recorded 2 months in advance.
What?
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Goblet of Wine. To find us on social media, search at Goblet of Wine Pod on Twitter or at Goblet of Wine Podcast on Instagram.
We also have a website over at www.gobletofwine.co.uk where you can keep up with everything that we do.
This podcast is produced by our wonderful Hufflepuff tier patrons.
Yolanda, Wes, Samuel, RMG, Patrick, Nick, Lewis, Layla, Catherine, Gillian, Ashley and Emily.
If you'd like to support this podcast, check out our Goblet of Wine Patreon, where you can also gain access to bonus episodes, behind the scenes content, and our Discord.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.